Today's Shem Sachta Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, in the Shtatik, if somebody lost the ability to speak, Vamraloy, and he was asked, Nichtav Get L'Ishtecha, should we write a get on behalf of your wife? And he shakes his head, affirming that he should, that so should be done. The halacha is that we can rely to get if we ask him a question 3 times. That he and the question that was supposed to get a yes answer got a yes answer, and the question that was supposed to get a no answer got a no answer. Based on that, we could write the get. But ask the Gemara, V'lechesh, why should we not be concerned? Till Mashiach the lav lav nakte. Maybe he is in a situation that he's always shaking his head, nodding his head in one direction or in another direction, shaking his head in no, he's always shaking his head in yes. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef ben Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Damrinan Leibes Rugin. We don't ask him the question one right after the other. There's a pause in between. But ask the Gemara, why is pausing in between going to help us? The Lechish, why should we not be concerned the Mashiach the Serugin Nakde, that he has this habit of shaking his head, even if there's a pause in between? Answers the Gemara, what we do is, we ask him a question that has a no answer, and then we ask him a question, 2 questions that have a yes answer, and then we ask him 2 questions that have a no answer, and then a question that has a yes answer. That's Rashi's pshat. And if he always gets the right answer, that is clearly indication that he's fine. Others say that you don't have to ask that many questions. As long as you ask 3 questions, and the Miri says this, and 2 of the questions have a no answer, and 1 question has a yes answer, or vice versa, 2 of the questions have a yes answer, and 1 has a no answer, and he does it right, that's a proof that this person is well. And once we have a proof that he's well, we could do what we have to do. The Shas HaTshuvas Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel Simen Reishon on Aleph, asks, does the examination have to be done strictly in the way the Gemara just taught us the examination should be done? Or there are all sorts of modern technology and different types of tests that could prove a person's mental health, a mental situation, and if he's a cherish, where he's up to, can we rely on that? He suggests that maybe we can, but he says the Gemara, he takes a cautious approach. The Gemara gave us a way to do this examination, and he says we should do it the way the Gemara suggested, not any other way. The Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Rabbi Shmuel says that we discuss with him Dvarim Shemaisa Chama Maisa Shchama. In the summer, we ask him about things that people need in the summer. B'maisa Gishamim, we ask him in the winter about needing things that are needed in the summer, or vice versa. Shemaisa Gishamim Maisa Chama. We ask him in the summer about winter things, and if he gets the answer right, it's a proof that he's fine. My neyu says, what kind of question do we ask him? Ilema gulfukura, that we ask him that in the winter people wear heavier clothing, and in the summer people wear lighter clothing, sadini. Says the Gemara, even in the summer, sometimes people get a chill. Inami, sometimes in the winter, chama achte, we ask people get warm. So these types of questions should not be considered valid questions. Says the Gemara Beperi, we asked them about fruit. In those times, there were fruit that were available in the winter and not in the summer, or vice versa, there were fruits that were available in the summer and not in the winter. And those are the kind of questions that are asked. The Gemara in Masechet Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, speaks about a person who's a cherish. A cherish, as we're going to learn, is an individual who's a deaf mute, who in halacha is considered a shoita, as a person who has no das, who married a pikachas, or vice versa, a pikeach who married a chereshes. The halacha is that just like the marriage is done by remiza, the get, if this marriage will be terminating, should be done, can be done that way. Since the marriage and the divorce is in the same mental status, you could have such a divorce. However, if you'll have an individual, says the Gemara, who is a bikeach, fully intelligent, and then he marries a woman who's also Barksha, fully intelligent, and then Rachman Tzlan, he becomes a cherish. He can't divorce because his marriage was a marriage midaraisa, and the divorce will not be a divorce that's valid midaraisa, because his divorce is when he's a cherish, who we just said doesn't have the proper mental capacity. So says the Gemara, Amar of Kahana Amarav, a prekeach that had a kedushin gemurim, and then he becomes a cheresh, shiyachol davim mitoichiksav, but he's an individual that could write what he need. He could give instructions by writing. Kois v'noisim get l'ishtoi. The halacha is that we could give a get to his wife. So Rashi explains that even though Mishas the kedusha, when he got married, the halacha is that he was a full sound mind, and now he became a cheresh. If we see that he can write properly, the halacha is we can rely on the get. The way the Achroinim explained the Gemara, that even though the cheresh is not considered a bardas, still the ksiva of the cheresh is an indication that he is a bardas. And since it's considered, since he's considered a bardas, we can rely on the ksiva to say he's a bardas, and the get, and therefore his instruction for giving a get will be fine. Amar Rav Yosef. So ask Rav Yosef, my kamashmon, what has Rav taught us that we have not already learned? Tanina, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Nishtatik, if somebody unfortunately lost the ability to speak, and now he wants to get divorced, what we could do is, we ask him, should we write a get on behalf of your wife? And he shakes his head, he nods. We do the examination, as we discussed early in the shir, and we learned, if he gets the right answer, so we clearly see that such an individual is able to we rely on such an examination. What is being taught here that we didn't learn previously? Answers the Gemara. Amalei Rav Zairus says to Rav Yosef, Ilan Kamrit, you're asking a question from an Ilan, Shani Ilan. A person who's an Ilan, who's unable to speak, as we're going to see, is in a different category altogether. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, V'dabaveinu shemeya, somebody who could speak and not hear, Zeh Cheresh. Somebody could hear and not speak, Zeh Elam. He's in the category of Elam. So now the Gemara actually taught us a very important halacha, and that is that somebody who is a deaf mute is called a Cheresh, and also somebody who could speak and not hear is called a Cheresh, but their halachas are very different. And the halacha of these individuals, since they're not a deaf mute, the halacha is harein kapichon chadavreim, they're considered completely fine and could make halachic decisions. Umamai, ask the Gemara, from where do we know that someone who's a medaber, who could speak v'ein shemei but unfortunately can't hear, is considered a cherish? V'shemei v'ein medaber is considered an elam. Says the Gemara, the ksiv, the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'ani cherish lo eshma, a cherish is someone who can't hear, uki elam, an Elam is a person who can't speak. As people say, the definition of an Elam, what does the word Elam stand for? Ishtakel Melulei. A person who loses the ability to speak. Amar Rav Zeira. So that question from an Elaim on what Rav Kahana Marav said has been successfully resolved. But says Rav Zeira, Ikashli, if there is a question, Hokashli. Says Rav Zeira, this is the question I have. The Tanya, the Torah speaks about Shvuas Eidus, that the Torah says that if you approach somebody and ask him to say that he knows testimony on your behalf, and he swears falsely that he doesn't, that's the case that the Torah speaks about Shvuas Ha'edus. And the Torah says, Im lo yagid v'nosa averinai, says the Gemara, apparently Elaim, that if such a story would happen with a person who does not have the ability to speak, Pratli Elim Shani Yochal Hagid. It doesn't apply to somebody who can't speak. Such a person, the parasha of Shvuas Ha'edus doesn't apply to him. Ask the Gemara Bamai, why? Hayochal Hagid Metaychek Sav. Why? We're learning now that he could say testimony through writing. So if he could say testimony through writing, why is he disqualified? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, why is he not in the parasha Shvuas Ha'edus? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Eidus Kamrit, you're asking a question about Eidus. By Eidus, there's a special din. Shani Eidus, there's a special din. The Rachmana Amr, the testimony has to be offered mipiem v'lo mipik savam. That has to be offered in orally. Any other type of testimony is not considered a valid testimony. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos says that a cheresh and a chereshes are not able to do chalitza because they can't speak. So ask Tosfos, why does the Gemara ask the same question? They could speak through ksav, through writing, so that should make them valid to be able to do chalitza. So Tosfos answers, there's a special limit by chalitza where the Torah HaKadosh says that chalitza has to have a mira. It has to have verbal words. And therefore, even though they can't communicate through writing, it's not considered doable. And he goes on to say that the Gemara over there learned the halacha of chalitza because the pasuk says, v'onsa, she should answer. And the Pirate says by the Levim who gave the brachas by Har Grizim and Har Evel, V'anu ha-Levim. And the Gemara over there taught us that V'anu means verbally articulating. Here too, it has to have a mira b'kol. The Tzais Chayshin says, the why, as our Gemara is teaching us, is an Elaim disqualified from being able to testify. So he says there are two issues. One is, as the Gemara just said, Mipiem v'lo mipik savam. And the other issue is that there are certain people who are very intelligent, a woman, but the Torah disqualifies a woman from saying testimony. Here too, the Torah says that a person who's an Elaim, even though he's of fine intelligent, the halacha is that they can't say testimony. There are those that want to differentiate between different types of testimony. There's a testimony that the Edom are coming and testifying and telling us what they saw, what they heard. And the Torah is teaching us, Mipiem v'loy mipik savam, that when such testimony is offered, it could only be offered orally. And the pshat that I saw, the Tzois discusses, and the Nesivis discusses, is because relying just on the written word will not be adequate. What's also necessary is the way a person expresses himself is indicative of what did or didn't happen. But then there's a different type of testimony. And that's a testimony, for example, when we have a shtar. The shtar is a document and we have to have two signatories to the shtar. There, Achronim want to suggest that for that type of testimony, it may well be that even somebody who is an Elaim, because as we're learning, is not able, is Elaim may be a person who could sign a shtar. Because there it's not necessary, Nachum Sofer discusses this, to rely on the way he speaks. So, the question is, that now that we've learned the halacha mepiem, pi ksavam, the question is, where is that halacha applicable? For example, we know that we're not allowed to learn Torah without saying Birchas HaTorah. And the question that the Rishonim discuss is, one allowed to learn Torah not articulating the word, just hear or thinking about the words? Dogger says, Dogger's a Rishon, that one could just think about Divrei Torah without Birchas HaTorah because of hearer laf kadir dami. The Taz takes this even a step further. He says, not only is hearer laf kadir, the thinking about Divrei Torah is not considered like learning, but even writing Divrei Torah. The writing, you can write Divrei Torah without making Birchas HaTorah. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskens, however, that for hearer of Divrei Torah, a bracha is not required, but writing Divrei Torah does require Birchas HaTorah. And the Chavos Yar explains that Ksiva, the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that Ksiva Kedibur. And therefore, since Ksiva is Kedibur, you have to make Birchas HaTorah for Ksiva. The Shev Yaakov says that actually Ksiva is Lav Kedibur. And one of the rayas he brings is our Gemara, because the Gemara says there's Alocha Mepiem V'loi Pik Sovim. The reason, explains the Shev Yaakov, why does the Shulchan Aruch say that one has to make Birchas HaTorah before writing Divrei Torah? Is because the Torah, an integral part of learning Torah is Vishinantam Levanecha, teaching Torah. So if one is learning Torah quietly and he's not saying the words and not writing the words, he certainly isn't fulfilling Vishinantam Levanecha. By sitting and thinking Divrei Torah, you're certainly not teaching Torah. However, explains the Shev Yaakov, when somebody is writing Divrei Torah, even if we'll say that Ksiva Lav Kedibur, the writing is not equivalent to speaking, it still is a way to disseminate Divrei Torah. And therefore, the halacha is that you can't say, you do make Birchas HaTorah for writing Divrei Torah because you're fulfilling Vishinantam Levanecha. Interestingly enough, that even though we learned now the halacha is that PM v'loy mipik savim, edus has to be offered only orally, the Shulchan Aruch and Choshe Mishpat, Simen Chav Hei Sif Yur Aleph, says that if there's a Talmud Chacham who is, for him, who's called to say testimony, and for him to come say testimony involves Bittul Torah, the halacha is that he can offer his testimony in writing. What about the problem of Mepiem V'loi Pik Savam? So here we have a very interesting Machloikus Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that the halacha Mepiem V'loi Mipik Savam teaches us that the person has to be an individual whom he PM. He's a person that has to be able to say Divrei Torah. Even though he's an individual if he's an individual who can't speak, he's Baruch Hashem, not an Elaim, then there's no rule of Mipiyam V'loi Mipik Sovim. The Rashi and the Rambam disagree. And they say that when our Gemara just taught us that Locha Mipiyam V'loi Mipik Sovim, what the Gemara means to teach us is that saying the Eidus, and again, going back to what we quoted a few moments ago from the Chasam Sofer, because the way you speak is very telling of you saying the truth and what you're saying, they say even a person who Baruch Hashem could speak could only offer Divrei Torah by speaking, could only offer Eidus by testimony, and there are no other acceptable excuses. There's an interesting question that we know the Torah says that one may not count Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Lo yimed v'lo yisofer, and that is indeed the halacha. And there are many questions about taking a census, particularly taking a census in Israel, which involves counting Jews. And we just learned that Jews may not be counted. So one of the heterim that some of the Paiskim suggest why a census may be taken, because they certainly suggest that it's very important to have a count and have the information that is obtained through a census, is the halacha of lo yimid v'lo yisofer means that you're not allowed to count people by number. You're not allowed to count 1, 2, 3. But if you have the census conducted by writing, and we're learning in our Gemara, we spoke a few moments ago, we quoted the Shev Yaakov, the Ksiva Lav Kadibur, that writing in halacha is not equivalent to speaking. So doing a census by having the count done by writing is not a violation of lo yimad v'lo yisofer, and therefore to be done. Ask the Gemara. The Braisa says that an Elaim, we just learned, cannot say Edus because a PM Elaim Heb Ksavim. Ask the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us that just like we learned in our Mishnah, Shem Shabaitin Isai Legitin, just like we can examine the Elaim if he still has the proper mental status with the test that the Mishnah taught us for Gittin, Kach Paitin Isai Lamasal Matanus, we could do this investigation, we could do this evaluation regarding his business transactions, Le'edis for saying Edis, Ul Yerushas, and to for Yerusha, which the Gemara is going to explain. But ask the Gemara, Ketani Mias, the Braisa just said clearly that we could rely on them for Edis. So what do we do when we PM a peak Savam? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Yosef, Menyumi Amar of Ashashis. What was meant in the Braisa when it said Edis, it's talking about Edis Isha. It's talking about saying testimony that somebody's husband died. That throughout Halacha, we find the Kilobar Rabbanan, Chazal were particularly lenient in accepting any testimony from such individuals. So here too, we're going to accept the testimony of an Elaim in writing, because this is a unique situation. Ask the Gemara, Vaktani Yerushas, isn't Edis when it speaks about Yerushas, is somebody saying testimony that I know that this person received this inheritance from this person? Answers the Gemara Amar Ravavu, what it means is Yerushas ben Bechor. If we know that the halacha is that a Bechor gets a double portion of his father's estate, and if the Elaim gives instruction in writing that I don't want my Bechor to get a double portion, and of course it has to be done in a halachically acceptable manner, the halacha is it can be done, so it's not an Edus, and the Elaim's written instructions are acceptable. But ask the Gemara, Mag Tanimius, we learned that we can rely on his written word, Lamasa Lamatan, my lav, Lama. The Gemara is assuming that what was meant in this Braisa is that he could offer testimony about business transactions that he saw, and he could offer that testimony in writing. It says, Gemara, loyal of the day. It means that he did a business transaction, and we want to examine if he's mentally sound to be able doing business transaction, and that's what the Braisa said, that he could rely on his writing. Meisvei asked the Gemara on what Rav told us at the beginning of this shir, that we could rely on the Elaim's writing. The Mishnah, the Braisa says, Cheirish, somebody who can't hear or speak, Lehochaba Achrim Mizaisov, we can't rely on anything that he does, nodding his head, shaking his head, or even if he mouths the words, or after his handwriting, we can't rely on it only by metatlin, by transactions and aval metatlin, avloy legitin. So how did Rav say that we could rely on a pikech v'nescharish, giving instructions by writing regarding a get? Says the Gemara, this halacha the Rav taught us actually tanoihi. It's a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, Amar Rav Shem Gamaliel, the Medvar Mamurim, when is the halacha that we can't rely on the writing of a person who can't speak? The Cheresh Mikara, somebody who was born that way. Av Bikeach, Veneskharish, if somebody who was born mentally fine and then Nebuch Veneskharish, he became unable to speak, who Kaisiv, Vehein Chaisim, he could write to get and they could sign. Ask the Gemara of a Cheresh Mikara Loi, why if somebody who was a Cheresh before he got married, not able to divorce his wife through one of these methods? Haven't we quoted the Gemara at the beginning of our shir? The Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, the Kshem Shekoinsa B'Remiza, that since this person wasn't able to speak at the time that he got married, so he got married by this improvised method of communication, Kach Maitza B'Remiza, that's how he gets divorced. So we see that, so why is Rav Shimon Gamaliel saying that we can't rely on his, if he was always a cherish? Says the Gemara, Ibe Ishtoi, if we're talking about that he was married, and he got married to this woman as a cherish, so since he got married as a cherish, he could get divorced as a cherish. That Brisa, however, he says, is talking about Hachamai Eskinen, Be Yevimtoi. A person had a brother, and the brother who was Baruch Hashem healthy, married a woman, and they had a 100% full-fledged Kedushin, and then that brother died without any children. And now this Yevama falls to his brother, his death brother. So now when the Yevam has relations with his Yevama, as we learned so many times in Masech the Yevamis, they become completely married. Even if he doesn't say anything, the fact that he has relations with her makes her his full-fledged wife. Now, if he wants to divorce her, since she has with him a Kedushin Gemurim, the divorce has to be a full-fledged divorce. But this person, unfortunately, cannot speak, so he doesn't have the ability to have a full-fledged divorce, and therefore they can't get divorced. Ask the Gemara, Yevinta Miman, when we speak about this Yevama, exactly what was the story? Ilaim the Naflim Achiv Cheresh. If we're going to say that his brother who died was also a cherish, so why don't we say the came shishin tzav remiza kach yitzias remiza? Everything was a cherish. Ella, it must be as we explained the naflim achav pikeach, and therefore the marriage that this woman had with her first husband was a full fledged marriage. The yibum was a full fledged yibum, and the get does a get of a cherish will not have the ability to break that. Vibay Seima, says the Gemara, Lo'ilam the Nafle Mech of Cherish. His brother was also a Cherish. And since his brother was also a Cherish, so then the halacha is that the marriage was a weak marriage. But, says the Gemara, Gzeira Ach of Cherish, Ata Ach of Pikeach. In the case where the brother was a Cherish, as we just finished explaining, even if Yibam was done, there should be no reason that the brother who did the Yibum, who's a Cherish, should be able to divorce his wife, because they're all Charoshim. But they made a Chazera when the brother's a Cherish because of the brother who is a Bikeach. Ask the Gemara, if that's a Gzeira Chazal, Yehochi Ishtenami. So even by a regular wife, a Cherish, Elaim, should not have the ability to divorce the wife, because we should make such a Gzeira. Answers the Gemara, Yevimta be Yevimta lo Michlefa. Michlefa. A person whose brother is a Bikeach and a person whose brother is a Cherish is something that can get confusing. Ishta be Yevimta, that is not the place for confusion. And if you got married at a Cherish, you could get divorced as a Cherish. Omega Zrinan asked the Gemara, is that true that we make Gzeira Cherish Ota Bikeach? Is that something that Chazal did? Vatanan, have we not learned the Masechta Yevamos? Shnei Achim Charshim Nesum L'Shtei Achis Pichais. Both brothers were Charshim, and both wives were Pichais. Or vice versa. Or not vice versa. Or L'Shtei Achis Charshis. Both sisters were Charshis. Or L'Shtei Achis Achis Pichais Charshis. Or, V'chein, Shtei achis charshis, nesun l'shnei achim pechin, or l'shnei achim charshim, or l'shnei achim echem b'keich v'echem charish. In all these cases, harei l'peturus min chalitzim min yibam. Because since the wives are sisters, and as we learned at the beginning of Masech the Yevamos, if the woman who falls to you for yibum is an erva, she is a chayis ishta, the halacha is that there is no chiyuv yibum. And as the Rishonim and Achronim point out, what's the chiddush here? As I just said, that's the first Mishnah of Masech the Yevamos, that if the woman that falls to you for yibum is an erva to you, a chayis ishta, there's no chiyuv yibum. So the Mefarshim explain that if we start analyzing these cases, there may be a case where the first marriage was only a marriage the Rabbanon, and the second marriage, and the Chiyuv Yibum, is a Daraisa the Chiyuv. So we'd say that maybe the Chiyuv Daraisa of Yibum should knock out your marriage. Teaches us the Mishnah, we don't have to be concerned from that. However, says the Mishnah there, if the two women that were married to the two brothers were Nachrius, were not related to each other, Yechnesun, the Yavam, they have to do Yibam, because since the marriage was a cherish marriage, the divorce could be a cherish. And we don't make a gzera. Says the Gemara Machvarta, we have to say, Kedishninan Mikara, that the halacha is that we're speaking about an individual that was a cherish Mikara. We're talking about that she fell to him from a brother who was a Bikeach. He did Yibum, and therefore they have a full-fledged marriage, and now that marriage cannot be terminated with the get of a Cheresh, which does not have the ability to break a Kiddushin Gemurim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We've learned throughout our shir the issue if we can rely on the writing of a Cheresh. So says Rabbi Yochanan, Cholkan lov chaver of Rabbi Shimon, and they hold, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they hold that a cherish can never get divorced through writing. Om Rabbi Afanan Namitanina, Nishtis, if somebody married, a Pikachas married a Pikeach, and afterwards the woman becomes a Shaita, La Yotza, he can't divorce her. The Scharishu Nishtata, if he becomes a cherish or a shaita, la yotze alamis. Ask the Gemara, what is the definition of alamis? What is meant with the word alamis? Lav afgav de yochel davim toch iksav. Doesn't it mean that he could write, and still we see that writing is not acceptable? Amra papa, says the Gemara, ilav de shmina Rabbi Yochanan. If not that Rabbi Yochanan had taught us explicitly that the Rabbanon disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, have a mina, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Frusha Tam Kamu Asa. Rav Shimon Gamliel is not disagreeing with the Rabbanon, he's explaining, my alumnus, that what is coming to teach us, and according to them, everybody who could write can get divorced. And what does it mean when it says here, Layoitze alumnus? Afgav the Chazinan the Charif, even though we see that he's very intelligent, if he can't write, he can't get divorced. Inami, what it meant with Layotz Alamis, would maybe be coming to teach us what Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. Dama Rabbi Yitzchak, Tva Torah Shaita Miskereshes. Midaraisa, a woman who becomes a Shaita should be able to become divorced. Because, as we've learned so many times through our Masechta, we don't need the consent, Midaraisa, we don't need to have the consent of the wife for divorce. As even if the woman is intelligent, halachically midaraisa, she could get divorced. Matam amru. So why did Chazal say ena miskereshes? We don't let her get divorced. It's a new reason, because of lo yinig ba minik hefker. If this woman is unfortunately in this category that she's a shaita, so nobody's going to be able to properly care for this woman. But otherwise, she should be allowed to get divorced. And that's why it's a whole different halacha. Our Gemara has extensively spoken about a cheresh and a shait and a ilaim, and that the question that many paiskim discuss is if we have a person who's unfortunately a cheresh, born without the ability to hear or speak. But Baruch Hashem, there's been so much advance in the world of these people who can be taught and have all sorts of different advances in their development. What is the halacha b'zman hazeh? So there's a tshuva, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Marsham, Chelek Beis Simen Mem, and he says that such an individual, because the question that was brought up was there was a man who died without children, and the only brother he had is such a brother who is able, who is a cheresh, who we now know can't do chalitza because he doesn't have the proper intelligence and he doesn't have the ability to speak. What would be the halacha? And the Marsham takes a lenient approach that if we see that through his education he has certainly a significant level of intelligence, he is not considered the cheresh that Chazal spoke about. I saw a tshuva, could such a person be included for a minyan? And there are paiskim, Sefer Knesset Yecheskel, that takes a lenient approach. The Levush Yisrod, however, is machmer. He says, our Gemara teaches us that a cheresh is not mentally competent to do any of these things, and there's no room for leniency. Says the Mishnah Amaloi, they tell a person who is a shchimera, or even if he's not a shchimera, they ask him, Nechtav get l'ishtecha, this person, there's a concern that this person is going to die and his wife will fall to Yibam. And we want to avoid it for whatever reason. So we ask him, Nechtav get l'ishtecha, Vaymalan, and he says, Ksaiva, write the get for my wife. Amala Saifa v'kasav. And they then give Saifa, based on what this man just said, they tell the Saifa to write the get. Or they tell Adam v'chasmu, they tell Adam to sign the get. Av pisha kasvu v'chasmu, even though the get was properly written and signed, v'nosno labal, and then they give it to the husband, v'hu chayz v'nosno loy, and he then gives the get to his wife, and all these, with all of what we just learned, the halacha is hare get batel. The get is null and void. Unless the husband himself says, unless the husband himself says to the soifer to write the get, and he himself says to the edim, chasaymu, you should sign the get. Tama, says the Gemara, that what is the issue in our Mishnah? The le'amatnu, that the husband did not say expressly to the wife, give the get, did not say expressly to the get, he only said tanu, and he didn't say kisfu. It says, if he would have said tanu get lishti, then the halacha would be that they would do what he said. Mani, says the Gemara, whose opinion is this? It goes back to a sugya that we learned the other day. The sugya, amili mimsrim l'shliach. If you appoint a Bezdin, can they fulfill what you say? And Ramey's opinion is that if you tell a Bezdin, mili, it can be passed on. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, Eim Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying that you have to be the one that says it directly to the Sefer and to the Edom. You can't give it over to a Shliach. Whose opinion is that? Ask the Gemara. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Who we learned Rabbi Yossi's opinion is the Mili Loimim from the Shliach. We can't give direct, that you have to say, the husband has to say it directly to the Edom and to the Sefer. So ask the Gemara, how do we understand the Mishnah? The Reish, the first part of the Mishnah, seems to be following the opinion of Rameya. The Sefer seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, says the Gemara. In, we have no other way of explaining the Mishnah. Reish, Rameya, we're going to have to say that the first halacha of the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rameya. The Sefer and the second din of the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Torah, when it speaks about the first Korban Pesach that was brought, the pasuk says, "V'yikra Moshe l'kol zikne Yisrael, v'yomel ha'mishchu v'kchulam tzoyin l'mishpuchoseichem, v'shechtu ha'pesach." And the Ramban says, the Moshe Rabbeinu, quoting Rabbi Yossi's opinion,
that Moshe Rabbeinu said it's over to Klal Yisrael. Rav Yochanan says that no, that Moshe Rabbeinu said the halachas of the Korban Pesach to the Zakenim, and the Zakenim were the ones who said it over to Klal Yisrael. So the Ksav Sofer, in trying to explain the Machloikas of Rabbi Yisrael Rav Yonason, says that the Machloikas is the sugya of our Gemara, Amili Mimser and Lashliach. Can somebody else carry out your shlichus? According to Rabbi Yonason, someone else could carry out your shlichus. Since someone else could carry out your shlichus, it was adequate that Moshe Rabbeinu should say this to Klal Yisrael. And once Moshe Rabbeinu says this to the Zakenim could give over this directive to the rest of Klal Yisrael because of Mili Mimser and Lashliach. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia is that Mili Loi Mimser and Lashliach. You can't just do it that way. And since it can't be given from one shliach to another, from the person to the shliach, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say it directly to all of Klal Yisrael.